Blog Talk Radio.
Studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
They will continue to deny people care. They will continue to jack up premiums 40 or 50 or 60% as they have in the last few weeks without any accountability whatsoever. They know this. And that's why their lobbyists are stalking the halls of Congress as we speak and pouring millions of dollars into negative ads. And that's why they are doing everything they can to kill this bill. So the only question left is this. Are we going to let the special interests win once again?
And good morning. And that's what the topic is in the nation today, because they're voting on the health care bill this weekend. It is the 20th of March, 2010. It's kind of sunny here in downtown Eugene. And how are you doing this morning, Cliff? How are things in Cottage Grove?
Yes. Good morning. It's wired. I got beautiful sunshine here, by the way. I don't know about you. Maybe you don't. We had fog all morning. It's really nice now, but this health thing. I tell you, it's amazing, and we're going to have to worry about that. We're becoming a third world country, you know.
Yeah.
It's the World Health Organization has in the year 2000 rated us 37th in overall performance of our healthcare system, and that's right next to Slovenia. And 72nd by overall level of health among the 171 member nations. So that between that and education, our country is sliding fast, very fast. We got to do something about it.
Well, it seems like we're really more interested in helping the rest of the world, but we seem to put ourselves last.
Well, yeah. And the rest of the world doesn't seem to be too interested in helping us. At this particular point, we're the ones who are going to start needing it instead of them.
Right.
Well,
and like the issue of the health care, I will agree that we do need some type of national health care. I don't agree with what's being proposed. And this morning, part of my reading and doing the show prep is looking over the 1,025 pages of the health care bill. I mean, if you want some boring reading or interesting reading, go to the whitehouse.gov and look up that bill. That'll either,
No, you don't want to do that now. I mean, it's Sunday of voting on it, and all you're going to do is upset yourself. We're going to have more heart attacks and more people getting very upset if they do that, because it's too late. I mean, it's going to happen, and it's going to happen. And it looks like, I was watching television this morning, and it looks to me like they're actually going to get to the point that they're going to pass this thing. It looks like it's going to happen.
Well, and what's interesting, too, is the way they're trying to pass it. See if I can find in my notes here, the thing called the Slaughter Amendment.
Slaughter Amendment?
Yeah, well, it's actually from Representative Louise Slaughter. They're trying to push it through without actually having to take a vote on it, if I understand it.
Oh, yeah, I know. You know, all of those, the simple fact is, and they can, as the news media keeps reporting, everybody does this. This is all a part of what's happening in our Congress and in our government that we aren't paying any attention to, because we're just too fat and happy and sit back and don't bother. And it's ways for the actual Congress people to do something as opposed to the bureaucracy. But the bureaucracy is going to win. Simple fact is the bureaucracy is going to win overall. But the bureaucracy doesn't care if this bill is passed or not passed. The simple fact is they're going to be there either way, and they're going to make the same amount of money and do the same amount of work either way. So it really doesn't make a difference to them.
Right.
So, I mean,
well,
our,
oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say our problem is this is probably going to pass. That's what I see happening is that this bill is going to pass, and then it's going to fail miserably in actual operation, and we're going to spend the next 10 years working it out. But we should, well, we just need to give everybody health care and then let them be able to opt out of the public free health care if they want to. But going the other way around and making you have to pay for it and making you have to have insurance is just absolutely stupid. That isn't a part of our country.
Exactly. And that is the part right there that I have the biggest problem with. I mean, being the fact that, for one, I'm poor. You know,
yeah.
Barely scraping through it today as it is. I mean, even an extra $20 a month for us is a lot of money at this moment.
Oh, I know what you mean, and we're not talking $20 a month for any of this stuff, especially when you put in there, you were saying that that businesses are being required to offer health care, whether they like it or not. I mean, does that mean they're being required to pay for it? I mean, I worked at a business where they offered a system of health care that would probably get me in at a little bit cheaper price than if I'd try to buy it individually.
Right.
But there's lots of places you can go to do that. There are community areas. I mean, the Chamber of Commerce, for example, has a health care plan, and part of community, you can buy into that in some places. So there are all kinds of ways of saving money. But even after you've gone through all the trouble of finding the ways to save money, it's still insanely expensive to be taken care of. And so, you know, and of course, see, now I'm at the point now, I'm old enough that I'm into the Medicare. And what's this going to do to me? What's this going to change in my way of life?
Well, from what I'm reading, I don't think it's going to affect you at all because you have what they're calling acceptable coverage.
Yeah.
Which is, by the way, on page 76, subsection 2 of the plan period. in fact, the short list of coverage that if you already have a qualified, you know, the key word here is qualified health benefits plan, then you're okay. You can be godfathered in on a health insurance coverage, like such a group health plan. That's acceptable. Medicare, Medicaid, of course, are both acceptable. VA benefits are acceptable. Other coverage, basically, it depends on the minimum requirements that the government sets forth. And
well, you know what's going to happen here, and it's sort of my attitude, I guess, which is I don't know if it's good or bad, but the simple fact is, if you're living on Social Security, you have no more money.
Correct.
And no matter what they decide to do, it's not going to make any difference because you have no more money.
Right.
You're doing what you have, and that's all you can do. And so, you know, to me, you say it's not going to affect me. Well, you're right. It's not going to affect me other than the fact that they probably could, I say, possibly limit me from any care, but that's already taken care of. I don't think it's going to affect me. It's going to affect the poor middle-class bloke who's out there trying to make a living and getting built out of an awful lot of money. You know, the insurance companies, I look at this and they talk about this and I keep hearing about this, you know, they can't refuse you insurance. They can't say, well, it's a pre-existing. That's like trying to say, you know, my house is on fire. I want to buy insurance now.
Right.
You know, that isn't going to cut it. It's a little late. But then on the same token, when you go to a doctor and they say, well, this is pre-existing, and you didn't even know, then that's a totally different thing. So I think we've got to perhaps redefine pre-existing.
No, I agree. On the news, they're talking about it wasn't on the news. It was actually one of Obama's speeches, and I don't have that that clip. We were talking about somebody was denied coverage because they forgot to list on the pre-existing conditions that they had acne.
Yeah. So is acne something you need to go to a hospital for?
Well, it could be considered if it's a severe acne. It could be, you know, a severe medical condition, I suppose.
Boy, when I was a kid, I had severe acne. Whew, boy, let me tell you.
Yeah, nowadays, you probably a disability.
Yeah. Well, isn't everything?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. It's just getting crazy. But like I say, that part of it is one thing. We need to start somewhere. And this has been going on for what, 30 years, 40 years, something like that? Roosevelt, I think, was the one who said we needed to health care coverage or something. I mean, that's
exactly
where it really started, is way back then. And we've just been pity-assing around and doing nothing about it all this time. And so I sort of see Obama's urgency in that something needs to happen.
Right
or wrong, we need to do something. I think this is probably wrong more than it is right in this particular case, this particular bill, for a couple of reasons. One, because I think it looks at health care improperly. Second, because it's not just health care. Again, they've tacked a bunch of crap onto it and have stuck a bunch of stuff on there. That's one of the things we have to address in the near future, is somebody comes up with a bill, it's got to go through as is. We've got to stop this business of tacking things onto it and changing this and changing that. They've got to come up with a bill before they even submit it for a vote, and once it's voted on, then it's done.
No, I agree. And where is the Constitution? Does it say that I'm going to put a bill in for XYZ, but in order to vote on it, you got to tag this onto it as well, which I guess is why previous presidents wanted the line item veto.
And I think they should have it. I think they should have it. I mean, a president is only there for a short period of time, and they're probably more – see, I think the president is scrutinized significantly more than the representatives and the congressmen. And so consequently, if the president goes in there and starts line-item vetoing all of this stuff, and it gets out and everybody finds out that the president is vetoing things that he shouldn't be vetoing, then he's going to get canned.
Right.
And we're going to have another one. And so we need to have a final say-so. You know, he's the final answer.
Right.
So we need to let it be.
And as I was watching some of the recordings of the proceedings over the last day or two, as Obama was giving one of his presentations to Congress, and watching the reaction of some of the congressmen, you know, you can tell who's really for or against it. But it would be interesting to know how many congressmen or districts keep throwing stuff in to get their stuff passed and kind of filter that, you know.
Everybody does. I was watching MSNBC this morning, and they were making fun of it. They were talking to some of the people, and they were talking to people who were changing their mind and deciding to vote for it. And I can't remember who the announcer was at this particular point, but he kept asking, well, and what are you going to tack onto it? What are you going to tack onto it? There must be a covered bridge in Wisconsin that you need or something, you know. And they all said, oh, no, we wouldn't do that. We wouldn't do that.
Yeah,
well, they do that.
Yeah, and it's acceptable. That's the thing. And that's why one of the reasons why it's very common that we don't trust our government, because they keep doing this stuff. But anyway, speaking of making fun of, how do our listeners out there, how do they get in touch with us, Cliff?
Ah, well, that's a good question. They could try calling us, except that I don't have the phone number up. So
would six?
They could email us.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
They could call us right now, really, right now, this minute, if you want to, at 646-721-9887. You can email us at talk@krbnradio.com. We do read our emails and we do answer them. The chat room is now open. In fact, if you want to, you can even email us right now. I have the email open as well too. So if you have any ideas on this topic, our comments, or any other topics you'd like us to discuss or debate over, we're more than happy to hear from you.
But give us a call on that telephone line. I mean, if you and call us on Skype if you want to make it free. That's easy. You could call us because we're using Skype, and so Skype to Skype would make it absolutely free. That would make it easy. How would they call us on Skype if they wanted to actually get in on our call on Skype?
They would have to conference a call, and I don't believe we're set up for that at the particular moment. But in the future, however, just like we are considering offering an 800 number, which Blog Talk has come up with a new program for doing that. So if we start getting more people calling in, we'll seriously consider investing some money and offering that free service.
Right. But anyway, the point is we'd really love to hear from you because there's got to be some people out there with opinions as to what's going on that are different than ours. And we'd love to argue with you. No, but discuss it with you. Discuss it.
Discuss.
Yes. Discuss and discuss.
Discuss. Discuss.
So, but I'm back to this thing. I'm telling you, the insurance companies, I've been saying all along for years and years and years that the insurance companies are killing us. The insurance companies are killing us. And to make insurance mandatory, we already do that on automobiles. We've done that on automobiles now for several years, and that, I feel, is an absolute imposition and should not happen. The only way to get around that, though, is to supply the coverage for free to everybody.
Or don't have a car.
Well, that's where I am at the moment, but anyway.
Oh, yeah. If you don't, this is where you have a choice, is if you don't have a car, you don't have to buy car insurance.
That's right. And you don't have to go to work.
Right.
So consequently, you can't buy anything.
But this healthcare bill is going to require everybody to either go out and buy coverage on their own, assuming that their employer does not provide it, or, and this is true, folks, be penalized at the end of the year.
Well, again, you can penalize me at the end of the year if you want to, but it's not going to do you any good because there's nothing to penalize.
Well,
and there's an awful lot of people. There's an awful lot of people out of work at this particular point in time, and they're going to have to be qualified for the free coverage somehow or another. And how do you decide on that? How do you decide who can and can't?
Well, that's the thing. That's the whole point of this. With as much taxes as they collect, both federal and state, they can, and the billions or trillions that we give away overseas, we could easily afford to provide free health care to U.S. citizens.
Right.
It's just on U.S. citizens. but what this health care is not free. Not by a long shot. In fact, let me play clip 9 here.
Okay.
And
I'd like to hear clip 9.
You would like? Okay. I'll play clip. Clip 9, which the president is talking about. I'll just play it.
I will not sign a plan that adds one dime to our deficit.
Okay, and the reason why won't do that is because it's not coming out of the coffers. Is part of the bill is called the Personal Responsibility Act, and the Internal Revenue Service is getting involved. In fact, it amends Internal Revenue Code of 1986, Individual Responsibility, and that's on page 167 of the. Of the health care bill, by the way, if anybody's interested where I'm getting this information from. But it will impose a penalty on people, on individuals, and I'm quoting Section 59B, tax on individuals without acceptable health care coverage.
Right.
And let me just.
Well, it's just so stupid. Again, it just needs to. See, we've got. Gone so long without doing anything about this that it has become so entangled that it's becoming impossible to straighten it out. So somewhere along the line, we have got to sit down and do a major reworking of our insurance and health and education, too, for that matter, system in the United States. And consequently, people are not going to go for that. I mean, I'm going to be in big trouble for this probably. But one of the things I see happening is this thing is going to get passed, and it's going to bring about this big change because it's going to fail so miserably that the whole system is going to fall apart. the insurance companies can't afford to pay out all this stuff that they're going to be required to pay out, because insurance is nothing more than a gambling situation. You're not, there's nothing there that you're buying. I mean, look at the insurance companies the way they are right now. If I buy insurance and then I go out and I get a cancer, a lot of them are going to cancel me. And then when they can't cancel you, which is what's going to happen, they can't cancel you for it, then they're going to say, okay, well, now your insurance rates are $100,000 a month. You know, they don't have to cancel you. They just make it impossible to pay for it. And so you don't get it anyway. So we're not, you know, the government is paying for this anyhow, one way or another.
Well, either that or, like say you come down with cancer, which hopefully you don't, they might decide to cancel you and just say, well, we'll let the government health care pick up the bill from there. Because it's not going to, as they say, nothing will require you to change your coverage, but it's not going to really affect the insurance companies per se, except that all of a sudden they're going to have a whole bunch of people going to them trying to sign up for minimum requirements of insurance. It's kind of like minimum coverage on your car. Otherwise,
that's exactly what's going to happen. But the problem is, it's still one of these situations where mandatory insurance is not an answer.
No.
Mandatory health care may be, but let's get rid of all of the other extra costs and incendiary costs around it and drop the requirement for insurance at all. If you just drop the requirements to have insurance whatsoever, and everybody is covered with, I guess you'd have to almost call it minimum care, but everybody is covered with minimum care, then the insurance companies can exist if you want to go out and buy extra insurance, external insurance, or whatever you want to call it. But insurance can't work. If you sit back and you look at this, insurance companies can't work because they're paying out more than they're taking in, and it's going to happen. Until we can change our healthcare system and stop paying, you know, $700 for an aspirin in the hospital, until we start changing some rudimentary things, insurance can't work because it can't keep up.
Well, that's true. And Oregon wasn't helping recently with its new tax on hospitals. Which is why you have the, you know, $2 and $3 etcetera.
Well, if it was $2 and $3, that might be one thing, but it's a lot more than that in some places.
Right.
It's just crazy. Everybody has to make a profit on this, and everybody wants a bigger and bigger and bigger piece of the profit, and consequently, the costs are going up on everything, just radically. But if costs go up in accordance with the cost of living, that's one thing. But when you've got people, insurance companies, and right now I hesitate to use right now as an example because I think things are in a bit of a turmoil at the moment. But even on a regular basis, insurance costs are going up at least 10 times faster than the cost of living, and that's just not acceptable.
Well, I agree. But, you know, the other thing about this health care is that if I could afford health care, I'd have it. But there's a lot of people in my condition right now financially, or worse, that they're living on the street, or they have a house and they got two or three people living in the house, all splitting the bills, just trying to keep a roof over their head, and they're cutting back everything they can just to try and make ends meet, and now you're going to throw a mandatory health care on top of it. You know, my point is that if we could afford it, we would do it. But they're going to force us to buy something that we can't afford, and at the end of the year, we're going to be fined a minimum of, it's a combination of what you can afford and a sliding scale. But either way, you might kiss your tax return goodbye because it'll go into the health care penalty.
Right, right. Well, that's where, you know, they're working on you on both ends now. You pay the taxes, which is working on you on the front end, and now if you don't do what they want to, they give you a fine, which is working on you from the back end. So you're going to pay it at both ends now instead of just one end. And actually, you know, I will have to say the one place where Americans are perhaps a little better off than some most European countries is how much taxes we do pay. We are actually one of the lower countries as far as tax paying is concerned, tax rates are concerned. But we are unfortunately reaping the benefits of that. Like I say, our educational system is falling apart. Our health system is falling apart. We are fast becoming a third world country, and that's probably part of it. So we need to reevaluate how we collect, what we collect, and how, but more to the point, how it's spent.
Well, that's a very good analogy. In fact, if you think about it, one of the ways that governments, not just our government, but any government, keeps control of the people is, for one, keep them financially poor.
Well, go ahead.
I was going to say, and that's exactly what this is going to do. As you're scraping together, and even if you do start getting a positive cash flow slightly, you're going to wind up with a big bill that's going to, you know, take away your savings just to try and follow the law. But the go ahead.
One of the things that I say, your key thing, you just said take away our savings. I don't think our government wants you to save. They want you to spend it before you get it. That's the whole idea of telling everybody to, you know, spend on time by and making sure that the credit ratings are low enough, or the credit, you know, the cost of buying things, interest rates, I'll get it out, are low enough that induces everybody to buy on credit. We've got to stop doing that.
Right.
We've got to get our people to the point where they buy what they can afford, because almost everyone that I know, other than perhaps myself at the moment, but I have in the past, and I will have to admit it, is living beyond their means. Now, I haven't lived very far beyond my means, because I optimized my own situation. I opted out of the credit thing like 40 years ago. Once I had actually, I got into it, and I spent, I was $25,000 in debt, and it took me years to get out of it. And when I did, I have not had a credit card. I have a debit card, but I have not had a credit card in like 40 years. And so I opted out of it myself. But the thing I didn't do was opt into saving in a reasonable amount of money.
Right.
And so that's also my fault. I know I'm young, I'm vigorous, I'm healthy, nothing's ever going to happen, I'm not going to need this money, I'll wait. Well, now I need it, and I've already waited too long.
Exactly. Well, on that note that you're just saying, again, as I was watching the president's speech, you know, when he was talking about that last clip I played, he said that if it does turn out costing the government money, and this is not an exact quote because I'm going by my feeble little memory, if it does start coming out of the national debt, we are going to start making cuts in spending. Now, up to this point, every time he would say something, he'd get a standing ovation. As soon as he mentioned that, I think only one-third of the room stood up and gave him a standing ovation. The other ones were just kind of, you know, looking down, disgusted, and shaking their heads. It's like, you know, don't you cut my spending.
Really? Oh, I know. When you talk about the Congress, that's the only reason they're there, you know. That's their whole reason for living is to spend our money. I mean, what else does Congress do except decide how to spend our money?
Well, and on that same note, compared to, you know, state representatives, which we have enough trouble anyways with them being, quote, representatives, except for calling the White House and leaving a message, we really don't have any say what goes on in the federal government. In fact, apparently, speaking of, the phone lines at the White House phone lines apparently were jammed with people giving their opinion. Unfortunately, I don't have any information whether most of the opinion was for or against, but apparently there was thousands of calls.
I'm really happy that there are thousands of calls. I don't care if they're for or against. I'm happy that somebody's getting upset enough one way or the other to do something.
And getting involved.
I mean, maybe we're actually going to get our population off of this dead fat butt and make them mad enough that they will do something, that they will get involved in what's going on. And I know that part of what's going on is because they're worried, you know, our congressmen and the representatives are considerably worried about voting one way and then going home and finding out that their constituency doesn't like the way they voted, and they're going to get voted out and booted out on their butt, which is exactly the way it needs to happen. That's the way we need to put the pressure on is we need to, and I suggest that we write, even if it's just an email, that we write to our congressmen and our representatives, not phone them.
Right.
I know that phoning them is convenient, but I don't know what they're, maybe we should look into this. Maybe we should find out what kind of a system do they have when somebody makes a phone call and calls in. How do they write that down? How do they note that? I mean, is it just some aide sitting in the back corner someplace answering the phone call and then that's as far as it goes, or do they write it down, or do they record the phone calls? What happens?
What happens is that, you know, you call and you ask for your representative, and it goes to their line, and then somebody answers the phone, and then they'll take down the message or mark a line on for or against, you know, on a popular measure that's going on, like what's going on this weekend. But you're right. When somebody takes the time, whether it is by snail mail or email, the fact that somebody took the time to write goes a lot further than somebody making a phone call.
And I've heard that the emails have to be kept in the governmental positions. You have to keep them for X amount of time or something like that. So to me, that is the way to do it, because you can get your whole point across, and then if anybody ever wants to find out what you said, they can go back and get the whole thing. They don't go back and just get, you know, little Johnny telling you that they're for or against. I want more than that when I put my 2 bits worth in. I like to get at least my 25 cents worth.
No, I agree. And speaking of 25 cents worth, in 27 minutes remaining in the show, if anybody would like to call in, and we'd love to hear from you, 646-721-9887. Send us an email if you wish to talk@krbnradio.com. The chat room is open right now. We'd love to have you participate either way in the chat room. And give us an idea for a show topic. Next week, we've been talking about we might get into it next week. The coffee party that recently came about?
Yeah, I think we should check out on the coffee party. You know, one of the things that I discovered, because I saw this on television, and I thought, well, you know, let's go check this out. Oregon doesn't have one. What is wrong? There was no coffee party meeting in the state of Oregon.
Oh, Oregon is so screwed up that instead of having the coffee party, we'd probably have the decaf party.
I don't care if it's a decaf party. But, I mean, decaf party, it means that basically you take things with a little more
it has no
calm.
Bite.
Yeah, and that's all right. You get 10 people together and anywhere and start talking politics, and the bite will get in there sooner or later. But, you know, Washington State had like 4 of them, and California had dozens of them, of course, and the other states, but Oregon had none. So let's have somebody get on their little soapbox. And let's have one. And if there's one, somebody who wants to start one in the Eugene or Lane County area, let us know. We'll be more than happy to come and join you.
Exactly. Send us some information on it, too, at talk@krbnradio.com. We'd love to hear from you, or anything that, if you know anything about the coffee party, especially in Oregon, please send us an email.
Well, we need to start one. We need to get somebody to get one going. I don't think it should be us, you or I, but I think if somebody would be willing to get involved with it, then I would be more than happy to help out and to do what I can. And if it's in Oregon or in Eugene, in the area around here, so that we can attend it with no problem, because I think they're calling for them on a Saturday in the afternoon as a general rule. So as long as it's afternoon, 12 o'clock noon or so, and we have a chance to get there, I'd love to attend.
Wouldn't want to attend between 10 and 11 on Saturday mornings where we're hosting this program.
Well, if you do it at 10 or 11 on a Saturday morning, you're going to get foot on the air.
There you go. Maybe that's what
I'd love to do that. Let's do that.
Let's get
one of these things going, and we'll go in and broadcast it. That would be fun. Maybe we'd actually get some somebody to come up with some ideas. That would be interesting. But yeah, we need to get something going, because this could be the ground roots swell to get people involved. Get people involved, because if it could be tons of little organizations, so that everybody has a chance to talk, everybody has a chance to get their impression across, and then I don't know how they're going to work it. Sooner or later, somebody has to. Well, no, if we just all get our impressions and all get our ideas across, and then each one of us send it to the government, whatever portion of the government that's appropriate to our area, I bet something could happen.
Well, let's see if we can contact them, maybe get a representative to come on the show.
Well, that's a thought, too. Yeah, that's a good thought, yeah. Never even thought about that.
So anyways, tune in next week, folks. Well, tune in anytime. And we'll let you know how what we find out on that, and we'll bring you up to date as it proceeds. And especially if there is an Oregon chapter, if you know of an Oregon chapter, we definitely would like to know about it. Or
well, there is none. There is none yet. I went on their website and they don't have one.
They don't have one yet? Well, they should have one.
See, I understand this is so new that I, and what was it, 3 weeks ago on a Saturday or whatever it was, that was their first meeting ever anywhere nationally. So, and they didn't have one listed for us. And so consequently, that means there was no one meeting for us. If somebody was meeting and didn't actually let National know, then we need to let people know what's going on.
Yeah, I agree. And do you have a quick summary before we get back to our topic about what the coffee party is for people that never heard of it before?
Well, basically, it's a couple of people who decided that they needed to get together and sit down and discuss what's going on in the world today, and especially in our own country, of course. But do it. Their idea is they want you to do it in small groups. You can have a coffee party. If you had 20 people at a meeting, they still want you to break up into smaller organizations, smaller groups, and come up with each five or six people or whatever the group is needs to come up with a consensus of what they think. And one of the things that they said, and I'm doing this from memory too, is something about when you get to your consensus, come up with a poster, a sign that you would be willing to stand up and stand behind. In other words, go out on the street and show it or somewhere, whatever, but something that you would be willing to stand behind, but only if all six of you can agree to that. And so if you have the whole or group agreeing to something, it's...
Are you still there?
Engines like me, then sometimes you get some weird thoughts and some weird things being said. But if you get four or five or six people to agree on it, it's usually moderated enough that it could be taken for real or taken seriously, but not moderated to the point of being obscure. And so, but the idea is to get every little community to have at least one coffee party. And the point is to go to a coffee shop and sit down and have a coffee and talk. Don't do it in somebody's home, because then you're going to be, even if ever so slightly, you're going to be influenced by whosoever home you're in.
Sure.
But if you go to a coffee shop and sit down in the back part of the room or in a corner or something like that and have your little meeting, then nobody feels that they need to be dominant in any way, shape, or form. You can all just sit back and get your point across. And then that can be put out and let the world know on the coffee. It's coffee. Let's see.
It's coffeepartyusa.com is their website.
Yes, there it is, coffeepartyusa.com. And go and take a look at it. You don't have to spend a lot of time on it, but go and take a look at it. And let's get some going in the state of Oregon, because I really feel that this is... We need a ground swell of...
Ooh, play on words. Coffee grounds. Anyway, back to healthcare.
Yes.
At 20 minutes remaining in the show, 646-721-9887.
Well, oh boy. Yeah, can I say one other thing off the subject just a little bit?
Absolutely.
we're talking about all this money that we're raising and everything like that. I get really upset about the fact that we passed this 66-67 thing and raised taxes in the state of Oregon. Do you realize that the schools are still having to lay people off? One of the big things they threatened us with is schools having problems,
right.
And the schools still have the problems, and we passed their damn bill. And so, you know, if they think anybody else is ever going to pass another tax reform bill in any way, shape, or form, they're probably sort of stupid about that, because they've just destroyed the thought of anybody ever trusting it, the government to tell you the truth again.
Well, and the same thing with the Randy Pape Beltway, renaming the Beltline. The amount of people that have written in and commented on local television web pages and the local newspaper web pages, there's more people that are so upset about renaming the Beltline, but also spending the $250,000, which, of course, you know, it costs a little bit more than that. And the most common comments is, why don't you rename that? Or once you name that new bike bridge that's going up over the Delta after Randy Pape, if you feel you have to honor him somehow. But
exactly. Or any other. I mean, they're building new roads all the time. Name
right.
a new road. Don't name something that's going to cost you money to change. If you're already spending the money on it, give him, you know, I don't mind honoring the name or the person, but let's do it without, you know, breaking the bank. Yes.
Exactly. And especially when they're crying that we don't have the money for XYZ, and yet, no. What's $250,000? A lot. It's our money, folks.
Well, I could live on it for a long time.
Yeah.
A long time.
You can. Yeah. You know, I'll name my hallway after you. Give me $250,000.
I'll make up a sign and run up and down the road and you know, attack people in their cars and say, hey, he's a good guy. He's a good guy. You know, or was. I don't know.
That, again, that's just my point I've been making for quite a long time
yeah.
about pet projects. When we don't have enough money to we're talking about that we don't have enough money to put police on the street. Eugene has a very high crime rate, and we don't have the money to house criminals so they get out early if they even stay the night, which, of course, there's already a feeling of, there used to be a time when breaking the law used to be scared. And you don't have to be scared anymore, because once you're arrested, and I heard this on the other day on the news, they're talking about once you're arrested, you know, you're in and out, and they give you a court date, and a lot of people don't show. They don't care.
Well, they don't have to.
They don't have to. They don't have the money to go after them.
No.
Just
right.
Again.
And,
it,
and it's true that that's exactly what's happening. The criminals... an awful lot of times criminals are actually not real stupid, and consequently they sit down and figure out that they know how what their return rate is, shall we say. So they know that they can do up to this bad a crime and still end up back out on the street the next day. So
exactly.
they know how far to go, what to do, where to do it, and it's going to get worse and worse and worse because no reason not to.
Well,
and
that. Back to the health care coverage, you know, the penalties at the end of the year if you can't afford it. Is that going to make you, well, what is that going to do? I mean, if you owe the IRS money, because the IRS is getting involved in this, and you don't have the money to pay the penalty at the end of the year, does that mean that now the IRS is going to come after you to collect what's owed because you didn't have health care?
Well, you know, the whole thing about this, and it's beginning to be a kind of a sad thing. Every time the government wants to do something, they threaten you with your tax return. You know, if we want to reward you, we give you such and such off of your taxes. If we want to fine you, we take such and such off of your tax return. Well, you know, this is going to be a moot point here real quick, because very quickly, there are not going to be any Americans paying taxes anymore.
Right.
Everybody's going to be out of work, and so they're all going to be on the free part of the thing and on that end of it anyway. So,
well, and they talk about
you should probably just
credit. It makes your point. To get a tax credit, you have to have an income.
You have to pay taxes. Yes, I don't pay taxes, folks.
Yeah,
so I don't have any income. So, you know, they can. You know, that's why last year, whatever it was. when they sent me the $600 actual cash in the mail, that was great because everybody gets to benefit from that.
Right.
But if they had just taken it off my taxes, I would have gotten nothing, absolutely nothing.
And speaking of, let me kind of read what it says here. This is Title 4, page 167, section 401. Individuals are taxing individuals without acceptable health care coverage. Section 59B, tax imposed. In the case of any individual who does not meet the requirements of subsection D, don't you love lawyer speak? At the end, at any time during a taxable year, there is hereby imposed a tax equal to 2.5% of the excess of, and then it skips down, taxpayer modified adjusted gross income, income for the taxable year, two over the amount of gross income specified in section 6012, subsection A, paragraph 1, with respect to the taxpayer limitation tax. I'm going to skip down. But anyways, then there's...
Well, you know, the point is, it all comes down to, here's what's going to happen. What's cheaper? Is it cheaper for me to buy the insurance or cheaper for them just to impose the tax, impose the fine? And it's probably going to be cheaper to impose the fine, in which that's going to just more incentive not to bother with the insurance.
That's true. And the deal about, as I'm reading down here, of the exceptions, of course, one of the exceptions is, and I'm quoting, non-resident aliens, because this section does not apply to any person who is a non-resident alien, in other words, illegal alien, which supposedly, now it doesn't say anything in here that an illegal alien cannot get health care. It's just saying that at the end of the year, he's not going to be imposed, he or she is not going to be imposed or taxed a fine for not participating.
Well, that's actually, and I know there's something about it in there, it almost has to be, but there's something that's got to be done about that too, because at this particular point, I guess I need to go tell everybody I'm an illegal alien, because I've got more rights as an illegal alien than citizens do at this particular time, I think. So because I've got all the citizens' rights as well as not having anything imposed against me, any of the restrictions, because I'm not ill, I'm not a citizen.
You
can't impose any kind of restrictions on me because I'm not a part of your system. But on the same token, we still give them all of the benefits of the system. And why are we doing that?
I haven't figured that out yet either. But another point I'd like to make, too, as we're getting down to 12 minutes remaining in the show, again, 646-721-9887, if you'd like to chime in on the remaining 12 minutes. We haven't talked, or I haven't heard anything really about what's going to cost employers, but page 162, and believe me, I've not read the whole thing. I've just been using... it comes in a PDF form, which makes it a searchable document, so I've just been kind of going through it. But anyway, subsection 1, civil penalties, and I'm quoting, in the case of any employer who fails during any period with respect to which the election under subsection A is in effect, to satisfy the health coverage participation requirements with respect to any employee, the secretary may assess a civil penalty against the employer of $100 for each day in the period beginning on the date of such failure occurs and ending on the date of such failure is corrected. So, again, this is now it doesn't specify in here like some laws, you know, if you have so many employees that you have to provide coverage or you have to pay this tax or whatever. But assuming it's going to be broad-based, well, even for larger companies, you just added – you're forcing them to provide coverage.
Well, even more to the point than forcing them to provide coverage, one of the things that we're doing is we're putting so much paperwork on the small business owner that they don't have time to run their business. They're spending all of their time filling out paperwork and reading paperwork that has to do with the federal government or the state government. And that's going to be one of the things that puts an awful lot of people out of business. And somebody better realize that these small businesses are what make America work. Small businesses are what keep America employed. And that our unemployment rate is outrageous at the moment as it is. We don't need to make it worse by adding more for the businessman to do, not to speak of the fact that there's more perhaps probably in costs to the businessman, and you just put them out of business. There's nothing left. They can't do it.
Exactly. And then you, like you were mentioning earlier, measure 6667 adding to the cost and being retroactive, which I still like to hear somebody challenge retroactive taxes.
You're really hung up on retroactive.
I am, because I mean it's like going to your employer and saying, okay, you just gave me a raise. I've been working for you for 3 years, and I feel that my raise should be retroactive to the last year. They're going to laugh in your face.
Depends. You know, I did that once.
Did you?
I had gone in. And every time I went in and talked about getting a raise, the boss never said no. He just said, well, we'll get right on that. We'll get right on that. So like 6 months later, when he finally got right on that, I did make him do it retroactive. And I got it, believe it or not.
Well, you're
so probably, it can happen. Not often, though.
But imagine if they did every tax that gets voted in or gets put into place, they decided that, okay, well, we're going to make it retroactive for 2 years.
Yeah.
Like I say, how can they legally do that?
Well, they can, of course, you've got to understand who makes the rules, who makes the laws. They can legally do anything they want to because all you have to do is just make a law. But then what we've got to do is we've got to make a law that says how long can retroactive be.
Correct.
There's got to be some sort of regulations. We've either got to make a law that says there is no retroactive, or how long can it be? And of course, then I'm going to keep lobbying for this. Every 5 years, laws expire.
Right. Well, the point that you made earlier, like regarding the coffee party, and it's what we're talking about right now, is a good reason for people to be involved. If you remember when Ross Perot was running, normally, when there's an independent running, they just kind of like, you know, you're just wasting our time, whatever, ha-ha, you know, you're not even going to get invited. But what got the attention of the Democrats and Republican Party was because of his grassroots efforts, so to speak, you know, talking about the people are Rhodes Scholars, R-O-A-D Scholars, meaning you may not have an education, but you have an education through experience. Got a lot of people involved in politics, and it actually made them nervous because they don't want you involved.
Well, that's true. Especially bureaucracy doesn't want you involved because you'll find out what's going on behind the scenes. We need to force our representatives to take control of their office. I don't think most of them do. They walk into that office and the bureaucracy has been there for years and they know how things run, and the representative or the congressman just lets them.
Right.
So there are some, the bureaucracy has got to be weeded out. See, that could be a combination of two things that happens there. First of all, we need to have less of a bureaucracy. We need to fire a lot of them or let them go by attrition. I don't care how they go, but don't hire. But the point is, if we have less bureaucrats, then it's easier to control what they're doing or to monitor what they're doing. We don't have to control it. We need to monitor it, so if they're doing something wrong, we can control it. But you can only do that if you have less of them. And if you have less of them, there's going to be a huge amount of money left over in the government as well. Because bureaucracy is, I mean, there are more. How many employees does each congressman or representative have? I mean, we're talking probably close to 100 in almost every instance. So if you've got...
Even just locally,
go ahead.
County commissioner has just spent I think it got passed where they spent a huge amount of money on AIDS.
Yeah, right. And why?
Yeah.
You know, if the job is so big that you can't do it, then we're doing something wrong.
Well, my song and dance for quite a long time is, to borrow from Parliament, have a check and balance system in where you have a system where if you have somebody that is not acting as a representative of the people, that you can do a vote of no confidence. And secondly, make them, when they come up and they want to have a bill where they have to, and this includes the president and everybody, where they have to go before either Congress or are locally the our representatives, you know, and personally present their bill, and you know, basically just have more of a checks and balance system that, you know, I can run for office and say, okay, I'm going to promise you jobs are number one, and I know you guys are hurting. I feel your pain. And then once I get in, it's like, ha, fooled you. Now you can't.
Well, look at we're looking at Obama right now. Jobs were number one. Jobs were number one. What is he doing about jobs right now?
Well, if of course, the change that he's going to be imposing is going to cost us a lot of money, especially for us that are below the poverty level.
No, but what is he doing for jobs? What is he doing about jobs? I mean, how does that affect jobs?
Well, he did do the stimulus bill, and the one thing he did do, I'll give him credit for this, for at least saying it, that they said they were going to be creating another watchdog group to watch the states to make sure that they are spending the money what it's for. Unfortunately, when you look at the list of where the money has gone and the jobs it hasn't created, I haven't heard any state yet being penalized for spending the money where it's not supposed to go.
Well, we need to – I haven't heard of any – I guess they keep saying that the
– Well, the some of the jobs that Oregon says that they've created, you know, the 2,300 jobs, I believe the number has gone off my head. And some
How many
of
people
jobs,
do we have unemployed? 2,300 doesn't sound like very much to me.
No, it's not. In fact, some of those jobs are only 2 weeks in duration, or they were even counting, according to local news, they're even counting some of the people that were not at risk to being laid off, where if they followed the, or they considered it under the federal guidelines, it would actually work out to about 700 and some odd jobs that the bill created in Oregon. Anyways, 3 minutes remaining in the program.
Wow. Okay. I'm waiting. I guess I'm going to sit back and wait. It'll be interesting to see if it passes or not, this health bill on Sunday, which is tomorrow, I guess. And if it actually happens on Sunday, are they going to find a way to put it off again and put it off? I don't know how. But what's going to actually happen? And then it'll be really interesting if it passes to I predict if it works out real well and everything is fine, of course, Obama will be God and can do no wrong. But if indeed it actually screws up and becomes an absolute dismal failure, then the Democrats are out. It's going to be the Republicans back.
And
do we want that?
That's one of the reasons why they want to do the vote now during the Slaughter amendment, that a Slaughter proposal, where they just the people don't have to stand up, the representatives don't have to stand up and be counted per se.
Right.
So they don't.
Well, so if it passes, there's going to be a lot of people upset, I think, because and if that's the case, then there's going to be a lot of people be losing their jobs. And I hope an awful lot of people start running for office. I mean, it doesn't cost you that much to run for local office. Let's get in the gear. Then we got to work on campaign reform, because it's impossible to run for office. And it's impossible for our elected officials to do their job if they have to be out campaigning and trying to come up with money all the time, which is exactly the case. So you can't come up with $1 million a year and still do your job. It's on top of it. So, you know.
And
consequently, we need to have the entire campaign system changed. How, I don't know. I have a good idea, but
exactly.
People don't like my idea either.
And we'll follow up on the coffee party, and maybe we'll go ahead and talk about that on next week's show, again next Saturday at 10 o'clock. And we'll also follow up with an update on what happened with the healthcare vote.
And if you have an idea about what you've come up with for next week's show, talk at krbnradio.com. T-A-L-K, talk at krbnradio.com.
We'll love to hear from you. Until next week, I'm Robin.
I'm Cliff. Have a great weekend.
check us out on the internet at www.krbnradio.com or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.